Hi.
Hi.
It's been a long time.
How have you been?
Good.
Good. Good.
Apologies for the delay. We had some health issues.
Did we?
All is well.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the game. Just recording this podcast from my tub. Ice bath. Welcome to episode 5.
Is it episode 5?
Episode 5.
Lucky number 5.
So this episode, Jamie and I came up with a concept of recording an interview of some friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we interviewed our friends Kevin and Morgan,
mm-hmm.
who now live in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
and were planning a wedding in Sacramento, but they weren't living in Sacramento when they planned the wedding.
They were living in New York.
They were living in New York. So we thought it would make for a really cool parallel, considering we are currently not quite across country, but...
Right.
Across state lines.
Oh, they don't.
Oh, they can't hear the music. We have music on, but it made it go away.
Looks like they have no shirt on.
It's a naked interview, right?
Are we being recorded? Is this the beginning of it?
Do you remember what the first question we asked him was?
We asked about the venue because we ran into a similar situation where we needed to book a venue and we weren't necessarily there in that state to book the venue.
That's right.
And it turns out that we had a very similar situation where Morgan's parents found the venue and they had to book it sight unseen, just like us.
We were living in New York while trying to find a venue. So yeah. Our parents were a huge help, specifically Morgan's parents. They found the venue. So they had to go and take pictures of the venues, take videos, walk through,
Send
us the videos, the pictures. We'd have to give them, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, review, whatever. But we found the place that we had our wedding at just we hadn't even visited the place, never saw it until we went there because of the faith we put in Morgan's parents to kind of create our vision.
I could tell my mom and my sister had gone a few different places together. And every single time they were like, oh, it's nice, it's fine. So a lot of the times it was like overly manicured, you know, or... It was sort of like Disneyland where they were trying to create some very specific mood and that wasn't nice. And this one, my mom and dad were there. They were just like, you could tell the reaction. They were like, this is the place. They just had this feeling that it was just perfect. And we saw the videos and loved it and had the pond and it just seemed right. So we trusted them.
So then we asked them, I thought I was leading.
Take it.
Leading.
Lead away.
you looked so poignant. Like
I was ready.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that one of the things about planning the wedding that I'm most nervous is the guest count. Because you invite people and you would love for them to be there, but there's no expectation. You don't want to guilt them into coming.
You secretly hope that they don't come so that you don't have so many guests.
No, you just secretly hope that there's no guilt on either side. Like, they're okay not coming, and you're okay with them not coming.
Yeah.
It's just that in a perfect world, you would love for them to be there, but they're coming from across the country or whatnot.
Right.
But I think Kevin and Morgan gave us some good insight in that, and something that you have told me in the past that you've heard from Day of Coordinators or whomever, like, if you put somebody on that guest list, don't be shocked if they show up.
Right. You can't plan who's not going to attend. You have to really think that it's possible that everybody on your guest list might show up. And we're kind of running into that issue. And now listening back to Kevin and Morgan, they did a very good job of how many people they invited versus how many people showed up versus how many guests they could accommodate. We invited a lot of people. But we still are missing people. I'm sure there's people listening to this that were like, what?
Those folks in Canada really wanted to come.
Yeah, our Canadian listeners.
Maybe we should have a contest where... That sounds awful. Like, did you not make the guest list? Don't worry, we're having a contest.
Just for the record, we haven't sent out the invites yet, so...
My favorite aunt, I'm so sorry that you couldn't come to the wedding, but fear not, for if you listen to our podcast, we're having a raffle at the end of the show for one person... With no plus one.
We invited We started out by inviting 165. I think the max it could hold was 150, so we counted on some for sure drop off. And then at the last second, we had a couple last minute invites, but I think it was right around 135.
I literally saw some family that I had counted them out, like, oh, let's just invite them, just cause, and they showed up.
But that's cool, and maybe that starts a new, you know, part of your family, and you can reconnect with some people you didn't have before. And it's a lot of the times, I think, before you get married, you go along with things because your parents invite you, or you do those things because you're going as your family's unit. But then after you're starting from your wedding and beyond that, it's kind of your chance to set up these new relationships as the two of you, not as like a connection to your parents.
Totally.
Which I think is nice.
So Kevin and Morgan shared with us that they had a day of coordinator, which was cool because that was one thing that we really did like about their wedding is it flowed really well.
Good flowage.
And hopefully some of that was because of the day of coordinator, and that translates over to our wedding. But Kevin made a really good point about the photographer.
We had a day of coordinator, all the big preparation. My mom and I did a lot of that together. But we had this great woman named April who was recommended to us by the venue. She had done weddings there a lot before, and it seemed like it's a great venue, but it was really particular in terms of how the catering worked out. Because it was outdoors, the caterers had to bring in water on their own, so it was good for the day of coordinator and the caterer to be able to sort of know how to coordinate all those things together. So we picked people that had all worked there before and worked together, and that helped everything from her coordinating everything, getting all the tables moved around. That was really, really helpful.
I've been a part of a few weddings, and photographers are really good at also
knowing
the flow of a wedding, especially if you get one that has done tons of weddings and they know the flow. They, you know, they work closely with the coordinator. So oftentimes they're running the show. They can answer all the questions. So like we put an importance on paying a good amount of money. Well, I mean, top dollar for like a good photographer, like within our price range. We spent a good chunk on that because I saw that with past weddings that a good photographer makes a big difference.
Yeah. So they help set, they definitely do help the flow a lot and the energy too. Like they can be really helpful.
One thing that I'm worried about with our wedding is that I'm being super pig-headed. I'm being super stubborn about not doing a first look. Mm-hmm. And I feel like all the feedback we've gotten is like, now that people do first looks, it's a lot easier. And I'm worried that I'm going to burn a bridge with the photographer.
Yeah, she was really upset.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, we've talked about this before, but I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast. But when Damon and Jennifer got married, my oldest brother and his now wife and their 25 children, they have four, two will be in our wedding. When Jennifer was walking down the aisle, my brother just like started politely crying or happily crying or
politely crying.
Well, not like sobbing. He wasn't like, it was just like, you know, he was choked up. Like he saw his wife, the person he's going to spend the rest of his life with. And I want to experience that moment.
That's really sweet.
But I feel like I'm putting a lot of pressure on me and on you. Not on the photos, but I'm like, I better cry now when you walk down. Otherwise, should have just done a first look.
I'm realizing that there are a lot of parallels between our future wedding and Kevin and Morgan's wedding.
Hold on. Pump the brakes. Are you about to admit that?
Yeah, we're just copying them now. Yeah. After this interview, we're like, okay, check, got this. All right, done.
No, I mean, I definitely am super glad we talked to them because there are a lot of similarities that are kind of calming me down to know that these are common things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're just learning that, like, we're doing the right things. I think a lot of weddings have this kind of stuff.
It's like affirmation or what's the word?
Yeah, Afro-nation.
Anyways, so Morgan was talking about the difference between plated dinners and buffet style, and she has experience in like the catering industry, so she kind of gave us more confidence because we're doing a buffet style, so that was really good to hear.
I think the venue made that decision for us, And the caterer that we chose was familiar with the venue, and she said, this is how we do it.
Yeah. Another plus of being able to plan this wedding is I had a lot of experience, A, working in this restaurant, but also working with an event planner very, very closely. So I saw the back end of it a lot. But a lot of the times, large plated dinners in your tasting, they might taste great because they only had to make three or four, but making plated dishes en masse a lot of the times, I have had the experience that it can be a lot harder, it's more time consuming, and so just the buffet style keeps things rocking and rolling. But I think it also depends on the type of the mood you want for your wedding too. I think we wanted people to, you know, eat, get well fed, and then get up and party. So that was also part of it.
So once we were done with the simple questions, we finally decided to start asking the divorce type questions.
We asked Kevin and Morgan what the hardest part about wedding planning was.
You know what? No, the hardest part about it is that we don't live where we were getting married. And you guys will find also probably that, and you're finding it probably to be a little bit of a challenge. That was the hardest part about it. And honestly, it wasn't so bad.
There were, I mean, I chose like bridesmaids that were all over the place. And I rarely really got any moments where I had no moments where all of us were together until the wedding. So that was probably the hardest thing. You know, there were things that people were planning. They had big, like, let's get ready for Morgan and Kevin's wedding planning party. We're going to decorate all these things. And I couldn't be there. So they sounded like fun. And it's great that we had all the help of this, you know, committee of women coming together, like, let's make table numbers or whatever. That was probably the hardest thing.
So one thing we're having an issue with is deciding whether we're going to do beer and wine or beer, wine, and liquor.
It's like, do we want people to get drunk? Do we want people to get drunk?
Exactly. And there's the cost aspect. So we're evaluating that right now. And we asked Kevin and Morgan what they did and how they felt about their decision.
We really just asked this question because we wanted to see if they would bring up a special someone, a friend of ours. And they did.
There's a guest shout out.
Very exciting.
Just imagine, not even just about the money, but if you know who your guests are going to be, you can sort of decide, you know, based on how it affects how saturated people get and how quickly too. The venue we had was pretty loose, I felt like. And I knew, I was like, we're not going to do liquor, but the people that really, really want liquor, like Adam with his vodka, I was like, he'll bring his own vodka. It'll be fine.
And he did.
He's going to want his own drink regardless of where it is. So those people, I knew they would take care of themselves, whatever we decided.
That's super true. Like, the people who really want it will bring it no matter what.
The people that really want to get wasted, they're going to find a way to get wasted.
So I think the question that I really looked forward to asking and hearing their response was, like, what's the best piece of advice you have for us?
I don't know if it's advice. It's more something that really, really helped with the flow of the wedding, but just support solid groomsmen. And I had five dudes there next to me keeping it real the whole time. And I think that's important in the successful wedding day.
I got this advice from someone else. Disappear for a minute and sort of just secretly from the background. I think I hid behind some like servers that were taking a break. I was like, don't tell anybody I'm here. But I just took a minute to like step back and like see what was happening and seeing everybody else having a great time and just like having a minute to like take a breath and like absorb the day as it was. Mm-hmm. That was really nice. And then be able to go back into the madness. The good madness. Second little thing, this just comes from me. This comes from like performer land is I thought of the whole day of like a show, like a performance. I don't like to think of this in a stressful way, but sometimes there are just going to be things that go wrong at events in a show. And you just go with it. And we had right before I walked down the aisle, the DJ was like, I thought you had the song for the when you guys walked back down the aisle. And I was like, I thought you had it. So I just decided, like, whatever, I'm just going to just play whatever. No one's going to even notice. Everybody's going to be excited. Like, things are just going to happen, and you just go with it, and that's what it is. and try not to get bogged down. And I mean, that was a littler thing. Like, there could be bigger things that could have happened. But at the end of the day, this is the cheesy part. You're there to marry your best friend. And if you leave with rings on your fingers, you had a successful day. So that is the big picture of the whole thing.
I think in my experience, all of my advice has just been on the honeymoon. So I'll just be like, hey, so yeah, I'm getting married. Do you have any advice? Take a really long honeymoon.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the one time your job is like, oh, can't do anything about it. They're on their honeymoon. I better not call them. I better not reach out to them. I was just in a meeting the other day where they were like, God, he has been gone for so long. And they're like, well, he just got married. And everybody went, oh,
yeah.
And all of a sudden they didn't care that this person missed their deadline or planned their deadline around their wedding. Thank you to the listeners for making it through our FaceTime audio quality. So thank you to Kevin and Morgan. It was a great wedding.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Would
go again. Not saying that they need to renew their vows or anything, but if they do.
Oh yeah, we'll be there.
We're in.
Till next time. I'm Jamie Messaker.
I am Andy Goldstein. It is hotter than a rhino in here.
Boink! Someone call me a leprechaun. You're a candy man, Andy. Didn't hear clapping to your food menu.
Yay!
Across state lines. Does Arizona touch California? Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
Hold on. It definitely does. I have to think about the map that I had on my college shower. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and we can all be girls too.
Yeah.
Women
yes,
too.
Obviously. The weddings are the best.
Jewish people know how to party really well.
We could score a movie.
Oh.
Is that Halo?
Oh yeah. I was pretty much singing Halo. I didn't mean to, but it just kind of came out.
He brings out like a fog machine.
I'm actually just now realizing that my nose has been whistling directly into the microphone.
Stomach?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was my tum-tum.
Are you hungry?
Yeah. Should make some enchiladas.
You're a candy man. You're a candy man.